So I just thought, why not do a quick session just to give you guys some pointers and some advice that you may find useful at this time of the year. So, if you've got any comments, questions during our session, just type and send it through, and I will be able to pick up on those and all the questions. Just send your questions as you think of them. But what I'll do towards the end of our session, I will I'll just go through all the questions and answer all the questions then. For now, I just want to go right into okay, there's a comment there. Someone on the chat. Okay, cool. Alrighty. Thank you for that, Kitiki. Okay, great stuff. Thank you guys. Really, really appreciate. You guys can hear me. Okay, great stuff. Okay. Right. What I want to share with you guys today is actually something that I do. I'm doing some of the things I'm going to share with you. I think that I'm doing myself at this time of the year. We don't have much time. I mean, today is what, the 15th of November. If you are lucky, you've got a month, because after that weekend of December 15, 16, nothing happens after that. So you literally have about 3 to 4 weeks, if you're lucky, to get out there and close some deals. But first, let me introduce myself. To those of you who don't know me, Siya Mapogo, obviously you know that now. I invited you to this session. But what you may not know about me is where my journey started. And I'm not even going to spend too much time on that. I'm just going to tell you, I used to work as a trader, trading for Investec Asset Management. That was like 12 years ago. Well, when we were trading, I was part of a team of about 4 traders. We were trading about R1 billion a day, every single day. And it was, for me, it was right straight out of varsity. So at the time, I didn't really have a concept of what trading R1 billion a day really, really meant until I left the company, became an entrepreneur, which happened around 2007 when I started my first business and I lost about R3 million, and I realized that, geez, it was quite a privilege to actually be holding so much of other people's money on a daily basis. Fast forward to today. What we do now, among other things, you know, what we do today in our business actually is very exciting for me, because it has, you know, it has taken many years for us to get to this point. Let me tell you just a quick background story. In 2012, my team and I asked ourselves a simple question. And the question was, what if all companies had a simple way of routinely closing 100,000 to 200,000 rand deals daily? Just think about that. What if all companies, regardless of size, big, small, they had a simple way of routinely closing 100K to 200K deals daily, and they do as much as they like or as little as they like, but they've got the autonomy to decide because they've got a system? And when this crazy question came about, immediately we said, you know, the things that were obvious were, one, the first thing was that if that was the case, or if that were to be the case, there'd be no struggling small businesses, you know, because everywhere you go, you meet a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, who are struggling, you know, with their businesses, struggling to close deals, et cetera, finding themselves in positions where they're desperate in negotiations and they don't have power to negotiate and close deals. So that was the first thing, that, you know, if everybody had that system, there'd be no struggling entrepreneurs. Two, big corporates would not need to retrench thousands of people, because money would not be an issue. It wouldn't be a case of, hey guys, it's a tough economy, we don't have money, therefore we have to retrench. And number three, that system would be the basis for creating more jobs. Because, you know, if you've got a system like that, how do you grow? You grow by hiring more people who would implement, you know, that system. If, let's say, as a small company, you are the only one who closes deals for your business, you could hire the next person, teach them the same system, 2 people closing deals, 3 people closing deals, 5, 10, 20, 100 people closing deals. But that's not the only area you would be hiring. You would also be hiring in other departments within the organization, because once you've closed the deal, somebody has to deliver the result to the client. So just the thinking around that, you know, just tells you that it, you know, if you were to have that, or if a company was to have that, it would be a very good basis to actually create more jobs. So what did we do? When we had this question and we had this debate with my team in 2012, we actually believed that this was a challenge worth solving. So we literally went on a full-scale research mode. I mean, looking back from that time to now, we've invested millions of rands in that type of research. We've actually invested millions of rands in that type of research, trying to find a way to do what I just talked about, to create that system of closing those routine deals. And then in 2015, when we were happy, when we were satisfied, but you know what, we've got something here, we started testing it in our business and also in other people's companies, you know. And some of the results that we found were really amazing. I remember, and I'm just going to talk briefly about some of those results, including some of the emails I received today. You know, I can talk about results for the past 2 or 3 years, but it excited me when I received emails today and I knew we were doing this session, and just thought I'd share what people were saying, how they used the system. And part of it is what I'm going to be teaching you during this hour that we have together. So the results that we got, the first one that I want to talk about was a couple, husband and wife team. They were running a coaching business. They had a package that they were selling for about 10 grand. I can't remember how long their offering was, the duration of their coaching program, whether it was for 3 months or 1 month or 6 months, but they were charging 10,000 rand. I think that's what's significant. And then when I looked at what they were doing and I looked at the result that this was delivering, long story short, I advised them that actually this should be sold for 100,000. Of course, like anybody that you give that kind of advice, they were reluctant. So they did nothing. And then 2 months later, they call me and they say, actually, we did nothing with the information you gave us until 2 weeks ago. Because we really now, we're at a point where we needed something different, something new for our business. And the long story short, their first deal was 120,000 rand for the exact same offering that they had. Their second deal, which happened a week later, the week that they called me, was 295,000 rand for the exact same solution. So, what did they do differently this time? What they did differently, I hope you guys can still see me. I think I messed up my screen here with my fiddling, so my apologies about that. I wanted to actually pull up my dashboard so that I can see your questions and comments. Sorry about that. Okay, now we are back on my full screen. So that was the first result. You know, it was this couple. The second result that I want to share with you today was a lady who closed within weeks of learning some of the stuff I'm going to be sharing with you. She closed her biggest deal, which was 485,000 rand for a small company, which was a payroll company. The first one was a coaching company. The second one was a payroll company. And that was the biggest deal she ever closed. And this happened within weeks. And what happened today, I got an email from somebody who approached me last year. I think beginning of the year last year, saying, you know what, Sia, I want to quit my job. I've been in the logistics space for, I think, about 20 years. He wanted to start his own company. So I decided, you know what, I think I can help this guy. So we spent a day together, one day. And I started advising him on some of the things I'm going to be sharing with you guys today. And then what happened today, he sent me an email, and I'm going to read it to you. Because I'm talking about these results because I want you to know that what I'm going to be sharing with you is not just something that I do that works for me. It's something that people in all walks of life, in terms of industries that they are doing, and they are getting results doing just what I'm going to be teaching you. So the gentleman who emailed me this afternoon, his name is Warren Charles. And the email that he sent me was this. I'm just reading it off my iPad. He said, "Hi, Siam. A word of thanks for sharing your knowledge and wisdom with me. By applying the teachings, KLG has grown from approximately 300,000 Rand to 2.5 million Rand in turnover. KLG is his company, by the way, achieved in just over a year. The methods you helped us apply to the consulting side of the business increased the hourly rate fourfold. Basically, they quadrupled their hourly rate four times by focusing on value and not on hours. This has helped ramp up growth of revenue. As KLG moves into its next phase, the principles you have given KLG will be 5 million rand turnover in no time. Thanks in advance." This was this afternoon. I mean, I'm not going to dwell too much on these results because I could go on and on and on. The key here is that we want to get into the meat of what we're talking about today. So what I want you guys to do where you are sitting right now is, I hope you've got a pen and paper, because this is an exercise. It's not just me talking. I want us to actually do the work, because starting tomorrow, I want you to implement some of these things I'm going to be sharing with you. So if you've got pen and paper in front of you, let's start with this. Right there where you are on that piece of paper, who's got my money? And I want you, once you've written that at the top, I want you to have five columns. I want you to write a table with five columns, top to bottom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 columns, meaning that it goes horizontally across the top, and then just draw lines that go down, because that's where you're going to be writing names of clients. At the top of the first column, write 10 million Rand plus. 10 million plus. The next column, which is the second column, write 5 to 10M. Meaning 5 million to 10 million. Third column, 2.5 million to 5 million. Fourth column, 1 million to 2.5 million. And then the fifth and the last column, under 1 million. This is what we do in our business. At the beginning of each year, we draw a table like what you've got in front of you. And we ask ourselves, we start right at the top, with 10 million plus, to say, which companies or which potential clients can we get that have got the ability to pay us 10 million or more? We literally do that exercise. We brainstorm with our team and we come up with names of companies. And these are usually companies that are not already our clients. We say, you know, such and such a company can afford to invest 10 million in our service. And then we'd go to the next column, which is the 5 to 10. And we would ask the same question. Which companies or potential clients, because your business may not be for companies, it may be individuals, you know. And it doesn't have to be 10 million or 5 million for you, because maybe what you sell, you currently at this stage, because I haven't really taught you, you know, some of the mindset that I teach people that makes them increase their fees by 5, 10, 20 times. Maybe you're still stuck on, I can never sell anything above a million, right? That's fine. Instead of 10, write 1 million, but do this column. That's all I'm asking, you know. And if what you see, if you believe that what you sell is worth less than 100,000, then instead of 1 million, write 100,000. So whichever way you want to do it. But the point here of this exercise that I want you to take is that you need to ask who out there in the universe of business, meaning in South Africa, right now, because in your industry, you may be the smallest, you may be among the small companies, but the reality is that there are people who are making billions in that industry, selling exactly what you are selling. You've got competitors, in some cases, who are possibly listed companies on the JSE, and the biggest limitation you probably have is your thinking. You think, oh, we're a small company. You know, but the reality is that people who deliver the service that you offer within those companies that are competing with you They are just normal people. What I mean is that, let's use a company like Deloitte, for instance, or any company. I don't want to sound like I'm picking on Deloitte, but the point I'm trying to make is this. If you're a consultant and you compare what you do to a Deloitte, the people that would do the work for a client, for Deloitte's client, are people like you. You know, they are Deloitte's employees. They've got the same qualifications as you. They probably know even less than you in some areas. But Deloitte will charge 100 million. And you will think that you can only charge 500,000. Because your argument is that, oh, but we're a small company. So that's the first thing about mindset. You know, people that buy from you, more than anything, they're buying outcomes. They're not buying your size. They're not buying how many employees you have. They're buying outcomes. But I'll come back to this point. I'll talk about this later. But I'm bringing it up now because I want you to be comfortable to do the exercise that I just proposed to you. Of course, you'll do this tomorrow, not right now, because right now I just want you to take notes. So that's the first thing. So tomorrow morning or tonight, I just want you to brainstorm. I told you that this session is for anyone who just wants to make an extra 100,000 or an extra 200,000 before Christmas or before the end of the year. And I believe that all of you guys on this call right now, that is possible for you in the next 3 weeks, depending on what you do. So that's the first exercise that I would want you to do. Because let's face it, if you don't have people that you believe can pay you an extra 100K, 50,000, 20,000 to reach that number, that whatever number is that you want to achieve before the end of the year, then chances are you won't make that money. But the reality is that the clients you want are out there. Some of them are already in your books as we speak. So this exercise is not just for clients you don't have. I did this last week for a company that is trying to make up a shortfall of about 20 million rand. And I said, actually, all of the money you're looking for is right here with the clients you already have. So this may be a case even for you. So let's move right on, guys. The next thing I want to ask you, I want to remind you, is that if you don't have people currently reviewing an offer from you, or I'll use that word, the P word, proposal. If you don't have people who are currently reviewing an offer that you've made, the reality is that you can predict the outcome, is that there'll be no outcome. Let me explain what I mean by this. I remember when I started working with my late mentor, Bill Gibson, and we're talking about how to do million rand deals. And he simplified it for me. He said, the only way to do million rand deals is to always have million rand proposals on other people's desks. We don't have much time. We only have 3 weeks. We don't have time for long proposals. I'll tell you what I'm currently doing and how I'm drafting my proposals. I actually sent a proposal, a million rand proposal yesterday, and I sent another one first thing this morning. And I expect both of those to close before the end of November. And I'll tell you how I did that before we wrap up our call. So this is another thing I want you to keep in mind as we continue with our session, that if you don't have people who are considering an offer from you today, tomorrow, or within the next 3 weeks, it's highly unlikely that you're going to close any deal. So by that, I'm urging you to take action tomorrow. Use some of the things that I'm going to be touching on as we continue. So there are three things that you need to have, which I'm going to spend the bulk of this call covering. In order for you to close 100K, 200K in additional revenue in the next 3 weeks, you're going to need three things. The first thing you're going to need is a compelling offer. The first thing you're going to need is a compelling or a powerful offer, whichever way you want to communicate it. You're going to need a powerful offer. And let me explain what makes an offer a powerful and a compelling offer. In fact, let me start with what is not a compelling offer. What is not a compelling offer is what you sell. Let me explain that. You know, when somebody asks you, so what do you do? What do you guys do? What do you guys sell? And the answer that you give, oh, we're an accounting firm, or we do payroll, or we do whatever. Whatever answer you give, that is not a good premise to base your offer. What makes an offer a powerful and a compelling offer is an offer that is premised in the world of your client. What makes an offer a powerful offer is an offer that is premised in the world of your client. And I'll take you through this process, which I take my clients through. But first, let me explain this. A lot of us, we make a mistake of thinking that our clients care about our input, meaning the work that we do for them. And we also make a mistake of thinking that they care about our output, which is the amount of energy we spend doing that work. And let me summarize it by saying, your clients do not care about your input, they do not care about your output, but they care about their outcome. They don't care about your input or your output, they care about their outcome. And to take that one step further, they care about their outcome and the impact that outcome has on their income. Some of you may be saying, oh, but what I do, I'm a Reiki healer. I'm a psychic. I'm not a business guru type who will impact other people's income. Believe me, whatever you do, I can trace it to how that will impact somebody's income. If you're a healer, you're a psychic, you're a coach, you're whatever, you're a stylist, you sell cars, you sell homes, all of those things, whatever it is that you sell, you can connect it to how it impacts somebody's well-being and how it connects to their income. But I don't want to dwell too much on income. I want to dwell on outcome. So if you look at your work, what is the outcome for your client or for your customer from what you do? What outcome do they get from engaging your services? Because that's the premise of your offer. That is what your offer should be based on. Not the input, not your input. Not your output. Nobody cares how hard you work. Nobody cares if you work on weekends and you work day and night trying to satisfy them. What they care about is, what am I getting from engaging this company's service? So that's your offer. Let me go deeper here. Now I'm going into the territory of the stuff that I teach to private clients. So I'm going to cover a couple of things quickly here for you guys. One thing I want you to ask yourself is, what do your clients say when I want you to picture your client talking about their problem, which you solve, by the way, talking about their problem to somebody that they are open and free to talk to? I'll use two types of people. One, you know, those guys who go to the bar, have a drink at the end of the day, and the barman says, so how was your day? They're like, don't even get me started. And then they start pouring their hearts to the barman. We've seen this on TV, even if you don't drink or you've never been to a bar. But picture that person. You would have seen on TV somebody talking to a barman and opening up about things that they wouldn't tell even some of their friends because the barman is a stranger. The other alternative is somebody talking to their spouse in the middle of the night. Picture this scenario. A wife wakes up and a husband is staring at the ceiling in the middle of the night. And the wife says, honey, it's 1:05. And the wife says, honey, what's wrong? How long have you been up? And then the husband just goes, oh, honey, I couldn't sleep. I haven't had a wink of sleep. And the wife says, what's wrong? And the husband says, I've been thinking about David's school fees for next year. David is doing matric, he's writing exams right now. And I was talking to my financial advisor today. And I realized that we did not save enough money for his education for the next 3 years at university. And my job is a dead end job. We need more income. That's an honest conversation. But a person who's a financial advisor who would talk to a person trying to sell them some kind of financial plan, they would not be coming from this place of deeper honesty, but they would be coming from a place of their products. All of us who've met financial advisors, we know, I've noted that question that just came in and I'll tackle it later. In fact, let me just check. I see you guys have been commenting. I just want to make sure we are still on the same page here. I don't want to go too far ahead, only to find that you guys, I've left you guys behind. Alrighty. There's a question. Which books can I read? I've noted that question. In fact, one thing I would recommend, the question is, which book can I read to augment what you are teaching tonight? The first thing I will recommend for you is actually a free report, which I'm giving away. It's called Why Deals Don't Close. It's available on one of my websites. The website is closethatdealsouthafrica.co.za. So if you go to closethatdealsa, after this call, closethatdealsa.co.za, that will be the first thing that I would recommend that you read. Let me think of other things that come immediately top of mind. I'll think as we go. One of the books that I recommend to everybody who's an entrepreneur is a book by Robert Cialdini. Cialdini is C-I-A-L-D-I-N-I. C-I-A-L-D-I-N-I. The title of the book is Influence. So that's another great book that I recommend to anyone on this call, any entrepreneur. Okay, so I proceed, guys. So before you can even make an offer, picture your client in a state where they desperately need what you sell. Because by understanding and feeling what they feel, or imagining and picturing what they feel, you will be in a better position to connect with them where they are. And by the way, let me hasten to say, this is not just about individual clients. This is also if you do B2B. You know, when I sell to companies, I don't sell to a company. I sell to a person. Because if I'm talking to, let's say, somebody who's responsible for business development in a company, and I'm selling them my 10 million rand service where we can help them generate an extra 10 to 15 million rand in revenue, that person is under pressure. And their pressure does not only keep office hours. all of us who have worked, all of us actually, not just only who have worked, all of us on this call as entrepreneurs and those of us who have worked in corporate, we know that when you're stressed at work, you bring that stress home. So whatever you sell, you must never limit it to just your product, but go into, and don't just limit it to, oh, I'm selling to companies, I don't speak to individuals, because the reality is that every single person who's going to say yes to what you sell is a human being. And there'll be human biases that are going to influence their buying decision, whether they're an individual and whether they're a committee. A committee is just a group of individuals who have got human biases that are specific to them. So that's the first thing. I want you to picture them talking about their problem to somebody they really trust, someone who's going to judge them, someone they don't have to pretend with. So that's the first thing. Another thing I want you to think about, and this is, a lot of entrepreneurs tend to shy away from this one, but it's so powerful because it prepares you in advance for when people are giving you objections to what you sell. I want you to think, what do your clients hate the most about your industry? If you were a used car salesman, they would say, oh, used car salesman. And it's so sad, you know, that used car salespeople have got this bad reputation of being liars and they will sell you snake oil and all of that stuff. Of course, it's not true because, I mean, I know a lot of used car salespeople who are very decent people. It's just that it's one of those things that, you know, it's a myth that is accepted globally. But what do people say about your industry? Estate agents. Oh, those people, you can't trust them, right? You know, so you must always think in advance. What do people hate about your industry? So that you could address those things before they come up. The next thing, and I'm moving fast because we don't have all the time. We still talk about the offer, guys. So I don't want you to wonder where we are. We still talk about your offer. I want you to really think about your offer. The third thing is, if you had a magic wand, what magical result could you deliver for your clients that would blow their world away? Or that would blow the whole industry away? If you had just had a magic wand, you just wave your magic wand and a result comes up, what result would that be that you can deliver? Because that's where the conversation needs to start. Remember I mentioned earlier that yesterday, I sent a proposal. It's a multi-million rand proposal. 2 weeks ago, that CEO didn't even know I existed until I dropped an email, which literally had five lines, requesting a meeting which actually happened last week. And it was during that meeting where I spoke about these amazing outcomes. I didn't talk about what I sell. I didn't talk about what I do. Apart from the fact that, you know, during the introduction, oh, we're a company that does X, Y, and Z. But I own more than one company. So I was talking about another company. I was talking about writing books. And then before I left, I spent the last 5 to 10 minutes talking about results for him. Remember the question that I just asked you? I said, if you had a magic wand, what magical result could you deliver for your client that would blow the whole industry away? So for me, to this guy last week, I said to him, look, we've got a system in our business that could actually help you generate an extra 10 million rand in sales. He says, what? And then we started talking about that. And I said, look, we would love to deploy the system within your business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, geez, can you put this in writing and send it through to me? I said, I don't write proposals. I don't write long proposals. There's a reason for that. At this time of the year, I don't write 10-page proposals. I said, I'll draft you a letter, and it ended up being a 3-page letter where I will outline the specifics of what I'm offering you and what I would expect from you should we decide to enter into an agreement. And I sent that letter yesterday, and I said to him, I'd like to get his feedback by end of next week. And then this morning, again, last week I met another CEO who didn't know me the week before, until I sent him an email requesting a meeting, and we met last week. And I tailored the results for his company. He loved the possible results that I was talking about. And he said, geez, I like these results. I can already see how we could use what you're saying in our business. He said, in principle, I'm in, but can you just put it in writing? I told him the same thing. I said, look, I'm not going to write elaborate proposals. you know, because it's late in the year. I think it would be in your best interest if we started working on this before December, because in your industry, there are retail sales that happen in huge volumes in December. And he said, you are right. I said, sure. So I said, I'll draft a simple letter, send it through, go through it. I'll make it simple. I'll write in a conversational language. And once you read it through, just get back to me. You don't have to accept my offer. You can decide whether you want to work with me or not. I sent that this morning. And I also told him that by next week, I want an outcome. If you and I are going to be talking in the next 2 weeks, I'd actually like to share with you what, one way or the other, I'm going to get an outcome next week. Either they'll be saying, yes, we are in, or, ish, no, we're not. But I'll get a result next week. But the way I drafted those letters, they're watertight. I'm expecting at least one of these, and both of them, each of these is like a multi-million rand proposal. But it was, I presented it as a human being, which is what I'm suggesting to you. And by the way, in case some of this is overwhelming, because I'm covering quite a lot of stuff, there's still a lot I want to cover. I will be helping some of you guys. At the end of this call, I will invite maybe two or three where I can actually specifically hold your hand over these next 3 weeks to actually help you get this result. So if that's you, there are not many of us on this call. If that's you, just drop me an email at the end of this and say, hey, Sia, I'm interested, let's talk. You know, and then maybe tomorrow or Friday, we could just get on the phone and we could map out exactly where we could find the money in your business. And I'll literally hand you, you know, a blueprint and a process that we will work on together and help you. But I can only have two or three people. I won't be able to help a lot of people with this because it's going to require my full-time focus on it. So I'm just putting it out there. Then the next thing that I want you to think about, by the way, this is not just for the next 3 weeks, guys. I want you to think about this even for next year, the way you run your business. What I'm teaching you is not going to help you in the next 3 weeks. It's going to help you right through. The next thing, why, when you think about your offer, I want you to picture your offer as something that people cannot say no to. And I want you to contrast it with something that people are fearful of or do not like. I want you to picture honey and bees. We all know that there would be no honey without bees. But human nature is such that if you have a choice between having honey and a bee, you would choose honey because honey is nice. And when you see a bee coming into your office, you want to run because why? You associate bees with pain. It's going to sting you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Guess what? How you communicate with clients, they process your words through the same part of the brain that they process what they like and what they don't like. That's why we don't like those calls we get at 7 p.m. from the call center. Hey, we would like to offer you a cell phone, whatever, however they go. A lot of people get annoyed when they get those calls because nobody wants to be sold. But how are you coming across to your clients? You may not be selling to them at 7 p.m., but when they get an email from you saying, hey, we're in such and such an industry, yada, 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 all that stuff, are you drawing them towards you or are you repelling them? How did I email CEOs that didn't know me from a bar of soap 2 weeks ago and have meetings with them last week? And today they're sitting with my 3-page letter proposing multi-million rand transactions. It's because of how I communicated it. Now, let me tell you how. Ask yourself, what do your clients want? What in their minds is honey? And contrast it with what in their mind is a bee when it comes to your industry. Because they don't want the bee. So and another way of putting it is this, what can you give your client as an outcome? And then you remove the without. You say, I'll give you X, Y, and Z, which is the outcome, without A, B, C, which is the bad stuff, the stuff they don't want. If you were a trainer, for instance, let's say you were a fitness expert, maybe not a trainer, but a fitness expert, you would say to somebody, look, I would get you 6-pack before December without even having to go to gym. Why? Because people hate going to gym. But everybody wants a 6-pack. And I'm not saying it's possible, by the way, but I'm using this as an extreme example. People want results, but they tend not to want the pain associated with those results. For instance, some of my clients, I say, look, I can help you make an extra million rand without having to sell. In fact, people will ask if they can buy from you. You won't have to sell. You won't have to pick up a phone and bother people with your sales pitch. If anything, you will have a normal conversation and they will just say, wow, I want that. Can I buy it? You know? So that's what I mean by, that's the honey. Everybody wants more money, but they don't want the pain of rejection when they try to sell their offering. So ask yourself, if you could strip all the bees from what you sell, what would be the honey that every single potential client of yours, when they hear about it, they want to talk to? When they hear about it, they're like, oh my God, introduce me to this person. So that's what I mean, honey without bees. And one last thing, there are 8 things, so I'm going to leave others out. I'm going to just take one because I want to move to the next point. We're fast running out of time. The next point that I want to warn you, this is more of a warning now. A lot of times when you talk to people about what you offer, even on your websites, some of you guys, you spend too much time talking about things that don't matter to your clients. Like things like your qualifications, you know? And I want you to think about it this way. If you go to a doctor, you are sick like whatever, you get to your doctor's office. Have you ever once asked him to produce his certificates? Where did you study, doc? Were you top of your class? I want to see, are you a specialist for real? I want to see all of those things first before you can touch me. You don't. Because you make assumptions. I mean, we've all heard of bogus doctors, but people still don't want to see proof of qualifications. And it's the same with your clients, by the way. As much as you can be chest beating about all the qualifications you have, what your clients are interested in is how good are you at diagnosing their problems. Because if you do a great job at diagnosing their problem, they assume that you will know how to cure them. The same way when your doctor, when you give your doctor symptoms, you just tell him, oh, I feel pain here, I feel pain there and there. And then they ask a few questions that are leading you to a conclusion that says, this doctor knows what I'm talking about. And then they write a script. You can't even read the damn thing. And you take it to the pharmacy and you do it with such confidence because the doctor did a great job of diagnosing your situation. So my warning to you is that rather spend more time, I almost use the word convincing, but I don't want to use that word because I don't like that word. Rather spend more time making your client believe that you understand their challenge, rather than spend more time talking about your great company and your great work and how long you've been in this business and how many degrees you have. Because the reality is that those things mean nothing to the client because they don't speak to the client's solution. Remember, your client is preoccupied with their problem. The last thing they need is you coming to brag about how wonderful you are. What they would rather hear you talk about is their problem. So these conversations that close deals, you will find that the best conversations, about 80% of the whole conversation is spent in the world of the client. And only the last 10, 20% do we even talk about you. I know that probably counterintuitive to a lot of people who are used to going to just present because they were taught that just go and do a presentation. Most deals are lost because people are so fixated on their presentation more than dwelling where there's a pain, which is in the world of a client or a prospective client. I move on. So that's the offer. Unfortunately, guys, I couldn't cover all 8 points of the offer, but I think I've pointed you on some of the key things to consider. I told you there are three things to think about. So the first thing is your offer. The second thing is a conversation framework. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs are underpaid for one reason and one reason only, not that they're bad, but because they're terrible at communicating the value of what they sell. Did you know that the price of your solution, your product or your service is based on three things? And I'll tell you what those three things are. The first thing is your thing, your product, your widget, your solution, whatever it is. But the first thing, there are three things. The first thing is your contribution, meaning the things that you sell. If you sell cars, it's the car. If you sell consulting, it's your consulting. If you sell legal advice, it's your legal advice. That's just a third of what your price should be based on. But I see a lot of entrepreneurs, they only get paid for that. Do you know what the second and the third thing are? The second thing is the power of your communication. Remember I told you about results at the beginning of this, where there was a client who was selling something for 10,000, and then I spent a day with them, and then we increased the price to 120, and then the second client that they spoke to paid them 295. Guess what? The thing they were selling did not change. What changed was how they were communicating the value, such that the client was like, oh my God, this thing is worth millions to my company. So the price of what you sell is based, one, on your contribution, which is the thing itself. The second thing is the power of your communication. And the third thing is your client's commitment to action. If you run an advisory business, you would have the best solution on earth. You could be the best communicator on earth. But if you can't get your clients to take action, there'll be no results. So whatever your thing is will have no value. So you need to be able to connect these three things. One, what is the real power of my offer? How do I communicate that value in such a way that in the eyes of a client, they see how powerful this thing is compared to anybody else in my industry? And number three, how can I make them want to jump at 4 a.m. in the morning to start taking action to get the results that I'm selling? Those are the three things that your price should be based on. But a lot of businesses, they don't know how to communicate. So they lose about a third of the price, and they don't know how to get people to take action. So they lose another third. A lot of your businesses, and I'm not saying this from some high horse place. I'm saying it because I see it all the time. People come to me saying, see how we make 100,000 a month. Can you help us make 200K? And then within 15 minutes of talking, I'm like, guys, this company should be making 500,000. And I start showing them exactly where they are losing money every single day. And it's in these areas. Anyway, I said point number two, right? I said point number two is a conversation framework. Of course, those of you who are my clients know about the Face It framework that I teach, where I'm saying, if you're having a conversation with a client, you need to follow a six-part structure. And this six-part structure is called Face It, F-A-C-E-I-T. And if you think about what Face it means until your clients can face the extent or the magnitude or the severity of their problem, they are not under pressure to make a decision. That's why people say, oh, we'll get back to you. If you take that as an outcome of a meeting, You're wasting your time. You're playing. How many times have people said, oh, we'll get back to you. Don't call us. We'll call you. We still need to think about it. Yada, yada. You know most of those deals never close. Every conversation you have with a client, it needs to end with a decision. Either, yes, we are in, or hell yeah, we're in, which is the first part, or the second part, which is we understand clearly what you are offering us, and we are happy to stay with our problem, so we're not going to buy. We are happy to embrace our problem that we have. We are happy to embrace our limitations that we have. And we are saying no to your solution. You see, those are decisions. But of course, nobody will say these words. They will lie. They will say, oh, well, let's think about it. When people say let's think about it, what they're saying is that you've confused me. I actually need to go cool my head so I can just think. Because if you were clear in your communication, they would firstly, one, understand exactly what you're offering. And second of all, they would understand that their situation is worse than they thought before they met you. How many times have people gone to a doctor because they felt like that they were feeling an ache? I keep feeling this pain on my back. And then the doctor runs a few scans. And when the doctor comes back with the result, they say, we just found something that could be deadly. And you need an operation next week. Do you think that person goes home and says, let me go think about it. I'll get back to you, doc. They don't. Because the doctor was so clear in his communication and he spoke with authority. That's what I mean about communication. A lot of our businesses, guys, we are terrible communicators of our value. And we wonder why we fail to meet our annual targets. Because we try to speak like all the other competitors in our industry, instead of standing out by being the most clearest communicator and leaving clients no room to be confused. Not confused about our offering, but confused about their situation. Because nobody wakes up in the morning thinking about buying from you, but they wake up with problems. And their problems are in their world. Nobody cares about how great your thing is until they can see the outcome it can have in their situation or their life or their business. So I said three things. The first thing is that powerful offer, which we just covered. The second thing is a conversation, now conversation framework that is structured. And I'm sure you're wondering, what is FACEIT? See, I tell us about this FACEIT thing. Let me quickly go through FACEIT. So I said FACEIT is really putting a clear perspective of your client's problem in front of them so that they literally face it. But that's not really all that FACEIT is about. F stands for, in any conversation, before you start a meeting, you need to frame the field of focus. What are we talking about here? And I won't get into exactly how that works because we don't have time. The second thing is set the agenda. Set the agenda. This is how this meeting is going to go. The reason to set the agenda is because you do not want to be interrupted when you are leading a meeting. I don't know if you guys have ever been in meetings where you try to talk to a client, but they keep disrupting you with questions. You will know, if you've been in a situation like that, you will know one thing. Who he or she who asks questions is in charge. That's why you have to set an agenda to say, look, first part of the agenda is that you will ask questions so that you can, like a doctor would. Doctor will say, what's wrong? Where's the pain? How long has it been? Yada, yada, all of them. You ask the questions, you lead. You don't, you know, when a client asks you questions before you can even talk, it's like a tail wagging the dog. You know, because, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but I'm trying to emphasize the point that the client has a problem, you've got a solution. Because if the client could solve their problem, they would have solved it. The fact that they are talking to you right now, it means they are looking for a leader, somebody who could lead them to a higher place, higher ground. And that's you. So now, are you going to let them now dictate to you how you should solve their problem? No, you need to lead. And you lead by asking questions and then giving your clients an opportunity to ask questions later. Of course, I teach this whole framework whenever I talk to my private clients. The C is cost. You know, a lot of times we talk about price. Ooh, this is expensive, this is cheap. The thing is, nothing is expensive and nothing is cheap until it is compared to the cost of staying in a current situation. Let me explain what I mean by this. If your client has a problem that is costing them R1 million a day, and your solution, you charge R10 million, until you've determined what their cost is, your R10 million product is expensive. 10 million, are you crazy? The other guys are selling this thing for R500. You know, but until it's put in the perspective of what their situation is costing them, we don't know whether what you said is cheap or expensive. Remember that those clients, the couple, where I said they were selling this thing for R10 grand, and then after I spent a day with them, the next person paid them 120 for the same thing. It's because that value was put into perspective. The next person paid them 295 for the same thing. It's because in that second client's perspective, that 295 was cheap. You know, instead of, oh, it's 10 grand for everybody, it's like a commodity. It's like a can of Coke. So everything, when I go to meetings to present, I never know what I'm going to charge until I know what I'm solving. You know, even though the solution may be the same as the one I gave to company ABC, but when I go to company DEF, even if the solution will be the same, but I need to understand the extent of their problem and the cost, what is that problem costing them? And then I will then with them work jointly from their costs and discount. Let's say the cost is 100 million. Then as I'm sitting there, I'm toying in my head, oh, I could charge 5 million for this thing. And then I ask them, guys, if this is going to save you 100 million a year, how much should I get? And you know, while I was still thinking about 5 million, they say, see, I will be happy to pay 10. You know, of course, I'm being flippant in this example. But the point, guys, I'm trying to make is that the value of what you sell is determined by the magnitude of your client's problems, not by your competitors. About Jabu and partners are charging 300 grand. Therefore, I'm going to outprice them. I'm going to charge 295. Doesn't work like that. It doesn't, because your customer doesn't care about Jabu and partners. Your customer cares about their problem and what you're going to bring as an outcome for them. They're not doing business with Jabu, they're doing business with you. And if they want to go to Jabu and partners, tell them to go. You know? So that you could work with people that value you. Now, we spoke about a powerful offer. We spoke about a conversational framework. Now let me finish phase it. So that's C, the cost. E is exploring a solution. Once you've framed the focus of a meeting and you've set the agenda of how this meeting is going to flow, and you've jointly calculated what their current problem is costing them, and then the next step is to explore a solution. Now that we know the magnitude of your problem, what options do you have to solve the problem? That's the E. And then the I is inducing, I won't use the word that I always use with private clients, but I'll use a lighter word, inducing fast action. That's what I is for. You wanna nudge them so that they can make a decision quickly, because you don't want another maybe, let me think about it, I'll call you, oh crap man, nobody calls. And then the T is take a stand. At the end of a meeting, there must be a decision. Someone has to take a stand. Are we doing this or not? You know, I mean, I know you're probably wondering, but CIO, you said you met those CEOs last week and they said send a proposal. Let me tell you, last week, when I left those CEOs' office, I already knew where they stood. But it's protocol to have something in writing because, you know, they need to, you know, communicate with their team. But I'm not worried that, you know, my sale is based on that proposal. My sale was made last week and I saw them buy with my own eyes, saying, in principle, I like this. Can you just put it in writing for me? You know, there was no maybe. I'm not sitting here waiting for a maybe. I will get a firm answer next week. They may come back saying, sorry, we're no longer able, because last week we didn't really talk about what I was going to charge them. You know, but still, that's not going to break the deal. Hopefully we'll talk in the next 2 weeks and I'll tell you what happened. But the point here is that every meeting needs to have a firm position. Either we are in or we are out. Do not take a maybe. If you've been to my website, cmopower.com, I'm giving away there a checklist called 60-second close that deal checklist. And I talk about this, that when you go to negotiate, you must never be desperate. It's all there. It's free, by the way, guys. So when you've got time, I gave you one website to go download a free report called Why Deals Don't Close. That website is closethatdealsa.co.za. Go grab that. Another thing I want to give you for free is go to my website, cmopower.com. Right on the front page, I'm giving away there a free checklist for negotiations. And I've had people who downloaded that thing and went to a meeting the next day and read it right outside the door before they went in and actually closed deals. So, and I'm not making it up. I can dig those messages and show them to you if you don't believe me. So go download those things, that are free. We've exceeded our time. So I'm going to wrap up now. The last thing that you need to achieve your goals in the next 3 weeks, you need easily accessible leads. And where are those leads going to come from? Remember that first column, that first table I said draw at the beginning? Those names that you're going to put there, those are your leads. Guys, do not go on an over-elaborate marketing campaign. It's too late for that now. Right now, you need to think of specific people. Come up with an offer that solves their problem and go see them. It's really that simple. The CEOs that I was talking to you about, 3 weeks ago, they were not even in my radar. And I just, as I was doing that table that I said, do, where 10 million, 1 million, this, that, their names came up. I was like, hey. And then I didn't even have their email addresses. I had to go dig these email addresses and I send them an email. By the way, here's a tip for you. If you're sending someone an email now at this time of the year, do not put meeting request. Do not do it. Because you know what? They won't read your email. Because nobody wants to take meetings now. You know what you should put there on the subject line? If you want a meeting for, let's say, next week, I'm looking at my calendar, so just give me 1 sec. Today is what? Today is the 15th. Let's say you want a meeting for Wednesday, the 22nd. Do you know what I put on the subject line? Meeting on 22nd November. That's my subject line. You know why? Because I know that when somebody sees that, they'll be like, oh, I've got a meeting on the 27th. Did I miss something? Oh my God. Their head is like, what? What's this meeting about? They will open it. And then I've managed to achieve one goal, which is get the email opened. And then the second thing then is I'm going to hit them with a compelling offer. The email is short. The email is promising results and fast. We're talking millions right then within the body of the email. And I always get a response within hours to within 2 or 3 days where the meeting is set. They accept that meeting. So do not send anything to someone you don't know in November saying meeting request. It will be ignored because people are trying to wind down the year. They're looking for, they're planning their holidays. But if I say to you, meeting on Wednesday, on 22nd, don't say Wednesday, just say meeting on 22nd November, that email will be opened, even if it's just out of curiosity. And if the offer inside the body of that email is compelling, they will want to see you. Because a lot of people right now are still trying to solve problems. Everyone is looking for a problem solver, not someone who's looking to sell. Oh, we do this and that, can you buy from us? Nobody wants that. Everyone is looking for problem solvers right now. So that's another tip. I just thought I'd throw it in there in case you were wondering, how do you get these meetings here? That's what I do, guys. So I said the last thing is you need leads and you need them fast. Those of you, maybe 2 people or 3 people, one of the things we're going to start identifying leads immediately to say, okay, cool. Who's got our money? We're going to get that 100K. We're going to get that 200K. And we're going to start reaching out to those people with a killer offer. And hopefully next week or in the next 2 weeks, we're going to go close some deals. One of my clients I want to talk about, I don't know if he's present on this call, but I know that he signed up for this. 3 weeks ago, he approached me and said, hey, Sia, and we've been talking because he said he wanted to work with me for a while, but he was saving up a bit of money so that he could afford what he wanted me to do for him. And then we met for like 4 hours. I won't say your name, but you would know who you are on this call. We met for 4 hours at a hotel here in Sandton. We sat by the pool, we had lunch. We mapped out a couple of, we're still not done, by the way. We mapped out a couple of things for his business. The next day, he closed his first deal. And the funny thing about that deal is that he made all the money he paid me in less than 24 hours, and he made 50% profit on it in less than 24 hours. So the irony of it, and I'm taking a dig on you now, my friend. The irony of it is that it took him several months to save the money to pay me. And it came back in 24 hours with 50% return on investment. Smart man. You know what? I'm saying I'm taking a dig on him. I'm actually not. I actually have so much respect for this guy. Because a lot of people who learn from me, they want to go study my ideas for weeks and months and years. Not a lot of people, a few. A lot of people actually take action pretty quickly and get results. But this guy, the funny thing was that when he was telling me this story, he said, Sia, I didn't even remember half the things you were telling me, but I just focused on the things that I remembered. And I just leaned on those things and I closed that deal. One of the things I remembered was to shut up and just spend 80% of my time in the world of their problem, rather than talking about how great I am. They didn't even ask him about his qualifications, by the way. How many times had somebody asked you before they buy from you, are you qualified? It never happens. But we spend so much time, who are we, a BEE, et cetera, all of that stuff. People don't care. People want solutions for their problems. Anyway, I think I should, I didn't prepare slides for today because I wanted the freedom to really pull some of the nuggets from a variety of sources. So now what I'm doing, I'm actually going through some of the notes where I had highlights for you because there were things I really wanted to talk about with you to make sure that I leave you with more value. One of these things is this one, and I'm going to read from my notes. It says, in case some of you have got this, I have been bitten by this bug of random acts of marketing. You know, when people are randomly trying to do marketing, things that are incoherent, I wanted to tell you what marketing is supposed to do and what marketing is not supposed to do. Here's what marketing is supposed to do. Marketing, in fact, what it's not about. Marketing is not about attracting people to your service. It is about attracting them to increase their focus and desire to that outcome that you provide. I'll read it again. It's a mouthful, right? It comes out of my own notes that I write whenever I prepare for clients. Marketing is not about attracting people to your service. At least you got that part. It's not about attracting people to your service. It is about attracting them to increase focus and desire to that outcome that you provide. So you want, when you do your marketing, you want to make people have so much desire for results. And the results are the ones that you can provide. Because everybody else is attracting them to their commodity, to their product, to their service. But you want to attract them to an outcome. You want to build their desire and their focus so that they are so fixated on the outcome that they want that only you can deliver. While your competitors are beating their chest about how great they are. So that's one thing. Another nugget I want to leave, I'm literally wrapping up now. Another nugget I want to leave you with is the value. I've already said this, I'm going to repeat it. The value of what you sell depends on three things. Your contribution, the power of your communication, and their commitment to take action. Another thing I want you to remember, if your clients have a problem, the question you must always ask, what does it cost them not to have your service, which is your solution? Because for me, I don't care if people don't buy from me. Because for every person who says no to me, there are five smart people that are grabbing the chance and we get results, and we just laugh. We don't laugh at them, but we laugh because people are so, people think, oh no, I can't spend money. I can't invest in my business or in myself. People who do they get results. I told about my friend who saved money for a couple of months. Within 24 hours, he made his money back, plus 50% return on investment. Maybe I'll ask him to shoot a video about that, you know, just to share with us. But that's the point, guys. You know, it's, and I'm not talking about me. I'm using me as an example, but I'm talking about you here to say, if people don't buy from you, don't feel that, oh, I'm losing a deal. You're not. Feel sorry because they are missing out on a solution, because they are going to be stuck with their problem. So on that note, I think I should end, guys. I promised you that I was going to finish at 7:30 and got carried away. I'm going to end right here, and I'm going to look at your questions. And I still have one question that I touched on earlier, which was, which books can I read to augment what I am teaching? So I've already given you three things. One, I've given you a free report from Close That Deal South Africa, closethatdealsa.co.za, and another report, which is a checklist for negotiating and closing deals, which is available on zemapoko.com. And I also recommended Robert Cialdini's book, because it speaks about why, how to make people make, how to help people, how to persuade people to make decisions quickly. So those are the three that I will recommend for now. But I mean, guys, you've got my email. So anything you want to ask me, I'm here. And those of you, like I said, the two or three people that would really like me to just hold their hand over these next couple of weeks, just drop me an email, ci@zemapoko.com, and I'll help you. So I've answered that question. I'm going to click here where it says answered. And then I'm going to move on to other comments that you guys sent me. I'm opening comments on chat. All right. I'm reading. There are so many comments here, guys. So I'm just going through these. Some of these are old. I've already dealt with them. Hey, Pulane, I noted your message, and I'll look out for your email. And you see, I've got an upcoming book. When are you expecting to have it in circulation, and which channels will you be selling it from? Oh, okay. My upcoming book is going to be out early next year. Actually, it's been sitting there. It's done. It's been written. It's sitting there. It's just that the only reason I didn't release it this year is because I've been so busy. I didn't have time to do a book tour. I was worried that if I release a book, I'm going to have to tour it nationally, and I'm going to have to tour it overseas, and I just couldn't find time in my calendar. So now we've already planned that with my team. So early next year, the book is dropping. The title of the book is Damn Good Advice: Why What You Know For Sure Is Not Working, and some of the my thinking, the way I think about business, which I just shared with you guys, I'm covering some of it in the book. So I think it's going to be an awesome read, hopefully. And Kizito, what could be a guide for a powerful offer? I'm not sure I understand your question, Kizito, but you know me. You've got my email. So by all means, explain to me. If it relates to your company specifically, I will take you through those 8 things that I mentioned, and we would put together a killer offer for you, because every company is different. But if I go through those 8 things quickly for you, for those of you that are still hanging around and would like to hear my answer to this, I would say, firstly, picture that midnight conversation where that person is waking up at night and talking about their problem to someone they trust who's not going to judge them. The second thing is, don't ignore what people hate about your industry and try to be defensive. It's a bad idea, bad idea. You need to know what people hate about your industry so that you can deal with it upfront. The third thing is, you think about your magic wand so that you could center your offer on the biggest, most powerful outcome you could deliver. That's why I'm saying, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you can do for your clients that would blow the whole industry away? Don't try to pile too many things in your offer. Focus on that killer one thing that if they hear it, they say, I want that thing. You know, if they want to lose weight, you say, hey, guess what? Give me 3 weeks. I'm exaggerating, of course. But if you can deliver that, by all means, don't be shy, right? I mean, people want the most powerful thing they can do. The mistake I see is that a lot of people want to have bullet points of what they can offer, a million things. That's a bad idea, guys. People get exhausted before they even get to the key thing that you offer. So you need to know who your client is. Number four, the honey. What is your honey without bees? I already touched on that. Number five is something I didn't touch on, your delivery vehicle. Be very clear how this is going to be delivered. Which brings me to the previous question, because the person asked me, which channels? So that's a delivery vehicle. Which channels will you be selling the book from? The book will be sold via my website. It will be available on Facebook. It will be available at Exclusive Books. And we may possibly do Amazon, but that's something we haven't set up yet. It will be everywhere, you know. And if you're in my mailing list, you will definitely hear from me about it. I'll say, hey, my book is dropping next week. I'm doing a couple of webinars because I want to teach it to people. So you will be one of the first people to know about it. So don't worry, don't even worry. Number six is your credentials. Don't overstate your credentials, because at the beginning, people are so fixated with their problems that they don't care about your credentials. You know, it's good that you've got them. That's why your doctor, when you come to his office, they don't say, I went to such and such a university, I was top of my class, I've got 5 degrees, or you don't care. You're like, doc, I'm in pain. You know, so it's the same with your clients. Another one always remember your greatest success stories, because it reminds you that when you've got great clients and when you know what it is they appreciate about what you do, it focuses you on the things that really matter. I hope that helps. The last one is a framework that I teach called FFISH. F stands for finance. How does what you do impact their finances? Another F is family. How does what you do impact their family? Another I, the I is, how does it help them become more influential? The S is, how does it help them to self-develop? People who do business with us, they must become better off because they came into our world, guys. H is health. Everything you do for people will make them happy or it will make them sad. And if anything that makes people sad, it can lead to stress and depression, which will negatively impact their health. Anything that makes people happy, like they make more money, they become happy, they start dating, or whatever it is that you sell, if it makes them happy, it has a positive impact on their health. I'm sorry, I'm kind of taking something that would take me hours to really teach you, but I'm giving you everything, and I'm literally throwing everything at you, and I hope this helps. If you've got any questions, comments, this may be your last chance to engage me before I close the session. I see here's another one coming in. Oh, thank you, Kizito. Okay, I'm glad you got value there. Thanks, my brother. All right, guys, I think I'm so happy you guys are still all here. I'm really, really glad. And let's talk. If you've got any questions, drop me an email. I just want to share. I just want to give you everything I can give you. And hopefully you will implement and give us your feedback. All righty. So I think on that note, ladies and gents, I'm going to end this session. I'd love to stay longer, but I know you guys have to go. I've got places to go. Cheers, guys. You take care now. Good night. Bye-bye.